Our dear Heavenly Father, oh, how I pray that something fresh from Christ would rest upon us this morning. That we would not begin a new year in an old way, but something fresh, something holy, something strong from your great heart might be communicated to us. I pray that your Spirit would one more time remind us that you are a God who hears and answers prayer. In Christ's name, amen. It was my intention to tell you an inspiring story from the life of Jeremiah, and to inspire you to live in God's future. But I said to myself, that inspiration will wear off in about 3 days, and it's a long year. And I want to give the church something today that is a tool that you can use the whole year long. Not just inspiration to start a new year well, but skills and ideas that give you a chance of living better this year than you've ever lived. I also know that Sunday after Sunday, I ask you to come here and help me do something. Let's serve God this way. Let's do this together. Let's accomplish this. But this Sunday, I want to tell you what I want to do for the church in the coming year. The best thing I can do for this church is pray. I don't know if you understand that or not. When the church originally picked other officers, a pastor said, it is not right for us to leave the ministry of the word and prayer to do other things. So clearly the most important thing I do for this church is pray. And try to show up and say something that doesn't bore you to death. But most important, pray. I found in the Psalms, Psalm 20, a model prayer from David. I hope you know David didn't live an easy life, and prayer was a necessary part of how he existed. Some of you remember that David ran from Saul for 10 years. Can you imagine starting the new year knowing that the most powerful person in America is going to try to kill you this year? I wonder what your plans for the year would look like. And when he became king, David had real struggles. He wasn't fighting COVID, he was fighting the Philistines. And they were a warrior culture. They were Spartan-like people. And then he had to fight the Ammonites to the south of him and the Arameans to the north of him. And if all these foreign enemies weren't bad enough, David had family problems. Bad family problems. You think you have family problems? David had a son rape one of his daughters. And another brother was so mad, he invited everybody over to his house and murdered his brother at Thanksgiving dinner in front of everyone. Now, I've heard of some bad family dinners, but I've never heard of anybody getting stabbed to death around the turkey. And then David had a son who got it in his head he should be king put together an army and tried to pull off a military coup to kill his dad and take over the country. David did not have an easy life. But he became a man who confronted life and all its struggles through the power of prayer. And in Psalm chapter 20, we have one of David's greatest prayers. It has 8 requests in it, and these are the 8 things I'm asking God to do for you this year. We're going to go through them one request at a time. Psalm 20, verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. As I look at the new year, there are troubles I can expect. There are troubles that aren't going to go away. COVID's not going anywhere soon. It's going to be around, right? And so I'm praying that God would grant us grace as we all deal with COVID, that we could not just survive COVID, but COVID could be used by God to make us better people, to trust Him more, to believe in Him more deeply. I also know that this polarized culture isn't going anywhere soon. I also know that it's crept into the church that your political views are whipping sticks to beat each other with. And I'm praying for us this year that this polarized political thinking would not come to church. I want you to believe whatever you believe politically and believe with all your heart, but I don't want you abusing your Christian brother or sister because they have a different political view, because they don't like the same person you like. I'm praying that in that trouble, God would make you and I more gracious than we've ever been. There are problems that I can't predict. There are troubles that you're going to have this year and I'm going to have this year that are totally unpredicted. Last year in January, I had no idea of some of the health problems I was going to have to struggle through this year. I had no idea. Young people, don't get old. You won't like it. There are problems, there are troubles that you're going to have, and they're unpredictable. But I'm praying that in every one of these troubles, the impulse of your heart would be to pray as you are in that problem and for God to teach you to trust in Him even in the most difficult moments. You see, if God is going to answer my prayer in the day of trouble, I have to have an inclination to pray. Isn't this what happens? A problem arises, the first thing we do is complain to 10 people about it. The second thing we do is try to escape it in the easiest way possible. And when all else fails, then we'll say, well, maybe I should pray about this. I'm praying for us this year as a church that the minute that we are aware of a trouble, the first inclination of our heart would to lift our attention up to God and say, dear God, I'm calling upon you to grant me wisdom, grace, and strength to meet this problem. And more than that, I'm praying that this problem would not be wasted, but it would mold me more into the man that you want me to be. Church, I'm praying that for all of us this year. I pray for you to be quick to pray in times of trouble and then to be alert to God answering your prayers. The second prayer is a prayer for protection. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. I don't need to remind you that there are evil people out there. Church, I don't need to remind you that evil is a real thing and there are evil people. We can't be naive. There are people who the imagination of their heart is continually wicked. They don't think the way you think. They don't have the values you have. They're evil. And I'm praying God to protect you from every single one of them. I'm praying for God to protect you from people who have given themselves over to evil. But I find in my own life, it's not just evil people, there are evil situations. There are situations that you can't win if you let yourself get into them. And I'm praying for God to protect all of us from evil situations. Look, church, I don't want to have to get into details, but look, there are places you have no business going. They're evil. There are activities you have no business engaging in. They're evil. Dear God, whether they hear it or not, I'm praying you protect them from evil situations. I hope you will look at this with me. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. I believe I've shared with you on many occasions, in the pre-psychological world, name meant character. May the character of God protect. How does the character of God protect us? Let's do a couple examples. Have you ever made a stupid decision? Okay. I've made stupid decisions, and I've looked back at myself and said, what could you possibly have been thinking? And then that smart part of my head says, you weren't thinking. Do you know, the wisdom of God can protect me from my own stupidity. You get it? The wisdom of God can protect me from my own stupidity. May the character of God protect you. The forgiveness of God can protect me from my own self-regret. Right? God's forgiveness can protect my soul from that punishment that comes from regret. God's strength can protect me from my weakness. Did you see? The character of God can protect me from myself, from my own brokenness, from my own wrong inclinations. In fact, this word that's translated protect can also be translated shield. May the character of God be a shield for you and shield you in this coming year from the damaging things that people can do to us and we can do to ourselves. I pray that every one of you will be protected from all evil this year. The third prayer is a prayer for spiritual help. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. Let's talk about the poetry first. This is a poetic line. The sanctuary represents the place of God's holiness. So you take the poetry out of it, and it says this: may he send you help from his own holiness. May the holiness of God be a help to you. Let's push on that a little bit. I want to be a Christian man. I want to be a Christian man on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I don't want to just be a Christian man on Sunday. I want to live out my faith throughout the week. All right. May the holiness of God help me to live out that same quality of holiness that God has. If you really want to be a better person this year, if you really want to be a better Christian this year, then you need the influence of the holiness of God helping you every single day. Can you hear it, church? And so David prayed, could something of your holiness meet me day by day and help me to live out my Christian faith? May he send you help from the place of his holiness. I don't want to just live out my faith. I want to have victory over sin. Can we be honest? Everyone in this room is a sinner. Church? I mean, look at your neighbor. They're dressed nice. They have a pretty smile on. They're sinners. Please don't look at me. I am a sinner. I have one hope, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Church, we are all saved by grace. But because I'm a sinner doesn't mean I want to go on being a jerk. I want to be a better man. I want victory over sin. I want to think better. I want to make better choices. I want to love better. I want to forgive more quickly. I want to be more gentle, more patient, more kind. I want to overcome sin in my own life. And so we pray, and I want the same thing for you. I want you to be free from sin. So we look up to God and we say, so that I can win over my own sin this year, would you please, please send me help from your own holiness. May your holiness change me so that I think differently, I feel differently, and I choose differently. And then there's the poetry of Zion. May the Lord give you support from Zion. Jerusalem is built on seven hills. Several weeks ago, we named all the hills. All right. One of the hills is called Zion. So if you look, if you go to Jerusalem, you have to drive up a mountain range to get up there. And then when you get up on the top of this mountain range, there are hills and valleys. It's not just all flat up there. So there are seven different promontories that Jerusalem's built on, and the highest and the easiest one to defend is called Zion. So it becomes a poetic word for the place of strength. Let's read it that way. May he send you help from the place of holiness and give you support from the place of strength. You see, when I call upon God, I'm calling upon him as the Almighty. God is strong enough to help me in every situation. Church? Have you ever told a partial truth because you just weren't strong enough to tell the truth? Or maybe you're as bad as I am. You just lied because you didn't have the strength to tell the truth. You want to do this? Oh, man, I'd love to do it. Oh, please don't make me do it. No. Listen, I'm praying this year that God gives us the strength to do what is good and right. Sometimes we fail not because our intentions are wrong. We fail because we just don't have the strength to do the right thing. I'm praying this year, that God would send us strength from his place of deep strength, and I would have the strength to love the way I should love, to forgive the way I should forgive, to be patient the way I should be patient. Not because I'm trumping this all up myself, but because something of the strength of God is actually at work in my life. It's not me doing it by myself. It is the grace of God at work within me. I pray for God to share his holy presence with you and to strengthen you for every spiritual challenge you have this year. The fourth prayer is a very interesting prayer. It's a prayer for blessing on generosity. Listen to what David prayed. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. I want to tell you something very unpleasant. People will forget your generosity relatively quickly. You trust me. People will forget your generosity relatively quickly. God will never forget your generosity. Do you hear that? We're not generous for people. We're generous because we are the children of God. People will undervalue your sacrifices, but God never will. You get it? Hey, Mom, your kids are never going to know what you sacrifice for them until they have kids themselves. And then it'll be different. Huh? Dads, your family really doesn't know what sacrifices you make, how you work and how you care and where your heart is. They will rarely value your sacrifices, but God does. Your Christmas offering paid for the 4,000 pair of shoes. Thank you so much. Within several months, those 4,000 children will be running around in third world countries for the first time in their life with a pair of shoes on. And God, and God will remember your generosity. When the child's foot disease heals, and when the child stops getting parasites, and when the child can go to school every day, we will forget. But God loves that child who's wearing your shoes, and he will remember and favor your generosity. I want you to see, may he remember, but then may he regard with favor. For you who have learned generosity, I want you to watch this year to see how God shows you his favor. God has blessings for people who are generous that the selfish never get. Church, I'm praying for you who are generous to experience the favor that God has for people who partner with him in being generous. No one is more generous than God, and God loves to hang around with people who are like him and generous. And he shows special favor to those who can trust him and be generous. And I'm praying for that blessing on you this year. I pray that the Lord will richly bless every act of generosity and every sacrifice you make. I'm praying for you to experience more of God's favor through the means of generosity. I'm praying for you who are generous to start watching how God favors you because you are generous. I'm praying for you who have not learned to be generous, that you might see it as losing something, you might stop seeing it as losing something and begin to see it as the avenue to divine favor. The fifth prayer, may he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Isn't this interesting? I'm allowed to pray for the Lord to give you your heart's desire. You are allowed to join me and pray for others that God would give them their heart's desire. Let's look at this a little bit. If God said to you this morning, I'll give you anything you want, what would you ask him? I I'll give you anything you want. Some of you would waste your request. You'd ask for something that only has temporary joy. You'd ask for something that has fleeting interest. If God said to you today, what do you want? And the second question he asked was, why do you want it? How would you answer? If God gave you anything you wanted, would it be good for you? I'm reading your thoughts. Someone's sitting here today saying, if God would give me anything I wanted, I'd get rid of the loser I'm with and get someone good. Hey, listen, would that be good for you? Would that really be good for you? Some of you are thinking, what was that Powerball jackpot? $400 billion, $1 trillion. If I could only win that. I've told this church hundreds of stories about people winning the lottery and losing their life, ending up absolutely miserable, bankrupt, alone. Not sure that would be best for you. If God gave you anything you wanted, would it be something frivolous, or would it be something that had lasting value? Church? Listen, there are many things I thought I wanted, but they didn't make me as happy as long as I thought they would. Church? Can you agree? You said, if I can get this, if I can have this, it'll be good. And then you get it, and you say, oh God, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. If God gave you the Mercedes, it would be great for what? A month? And then the mats would get dirty. And in a couple of months, you have to have the oil changed. And God help you if you need to take it into the dealership to have something fixed. Huh? And then 4 years, it's not even cool anymore. And you told God, this is my heart's desire, and you got something that didn't even make you happy for 5 years. Church, when I look at this, I'm not looking at saying, dear God, spoil these children by giving them whatever they want. I'm praying, dear God, help us figure out what is really meaningful and what is really valuable and what has lasting value, and grant that you would give us that desire of our heart. Church. Could I ask you another question? If God doesn't give you what you think you really want, would you still love him? Or is your relationship with God performance-based? Some of you are unhappy with God right now because you thought you wanted something and God didn't give it to you. And now it's estranged you. When I say, may God give you the desires of your heart, a cynical voice says, huh? Church? Here's what I'm saying. Only God is wise enough to know and wise enough to help you come to know what the real desire of your heart is. Church, I'm praying this year that God helps every one of us get serious about saying the meaning of my life is all connected to this desire. And God, I desire it because it is core to who I think you made me and what you want out of my life. Church, may God give you that desire of your heart. You can get the toys from lesser beings. You can only get the prize from God. And then he says, may he fulfill all your plans. If God said, I'm going to sit down with you Tuesday at 10 o'clock, I'm going to look at your plan for the year, and I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. Do you have a plan? Or are you drifting? Or do you just have a general idea, this year I hope I stay healthy, I hope the stock market does well, and I don't lose my retirement money, I hope my kids aren't too many troubles, huh? Do you have a plan that says, dear God, I want to live meaningfully this year. I want to get some stuff done this year I didn't get done last year. I want to try to do things that are harder than I've ever tried before. I want to do stuff. I have a plan that will cause me to become a better person because it's so hard. I can't be the same person and accomplish this plan. Church, I believe in plans. I've got books of them written down. Now, here's the second point. How much of the wisdom of God makes it into your plan? The plans you have, how much have you talked to God about those plans? The things that you want to accomplish, how much have you talked to God about those things you want to accomplish? What your career should look like, how much have you talked to God about what your career should look like? Church, young people, I'm going to tell you, God will give you the desire of your heart. God will fulfill your plans. I've got a lifetime of knowing that. I have a lifetime of knowing that. Much of what you see around here was once just a plan. Elders, it was just a plan. We sat and talked about it at a table. It was an idea. I'm telling you, God fulfills your plans, but your plans have to be influenced by his wisdom. I pray for God to bless the desires of your heart and for God to direct you to accomplish your most noble plans in life. The sixth prayer is a prayer for joy. I like this one. May we shout for joy over your salvation. Yes, I have a loud voice, but shouting is a biblical activity. You can take a concordance and see how many times shout is in the Bible. So I'm in, or that's what I'm saying. May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners. Church, I'm praying that you would live a joyful life this year. I'm praying that the darkness would pass. I'm praying that the oppression would lift. I'm praying that the depression would lift. I'm praying that the annoyance would pass away and that your life would be a serious life of joy this year. But I want you to know, joy starts on the inside and works its way out. It doesn't seep into you from the outside. Can you hear me, church? You won't find joy because the people around you do everything you want. You won't find joy because work is perfect. You won't find joy because you don't have any problems. Joy doesn't come from the outside, it comes from the inside. Joy is a deep well-being that rests on the goodness of God. I can be frazzled on the outside and have joy on the inside. Because I honestly believe God likes me. I honestly believe he wants to help me. I honestly believe he's looking out for me. Joy is a deep well-being that is inseparably connected to the belief that God is good and he wants what's good for you. And I'm praying that you would have that joy this year. I'm praying that you would joyfully recognize God's goodness. I want to share this with you. Over the Christmas time, there's a wonderful lady in our church. She's been coming to church here for about 100 years, about as long as I've been here. And she makes Christmas cookies. I'm not talking about average, I can buy these at the store Christmas cookies. I'm talking about I know what I'm doing Christmas cookies. And she gave Sharon and I some Christmas cookies. So because I'm a man of such powerful self-control, I was having Christmas cookies for breakfast. I know you can be jealous. My self-control is. And you know what? I just had a wonderful moment. I thought to myself, I like these cookies. They're pretty tasty. I don't know about you, but I can eat 5 cookies I can mow through them. It's not about taste at all. It's just the cookie monster. But in that moment, I had the awareness to say, these are very, very tasty cookies. And then you know what I was allowed to think? There is a beautiful person in the world who is my friend, who not only can make these cookies, but is willing to share them with me. Church, that's a beautiful thing. I'm not taking that for granted. Some of you didn't eat a decent Christmas cookie all Christmas. You have to go to the grocery store to get yours. Subpar. It was a moment of joy to me that God allows me to live a life that includes Christmas cookies and includes friendship with people who take the time to make a cookie like that and they're willing to share it with me. Church, that is a moment of joy. I don't know if you can feel it or not. I don't know if you can connect to it or not. But there are many beautiful moments of joy like that. And if we'll pay attention, we will sense God's grace in them. And I'm praying that you would not lose your moments of joy this year, but you would capture them. They are rich and valuable, and they are a delight from God. Joy is an unmovable belief in the redeeming work of God. Look, you only know the incomplete, Doc. God hasn't finished his work in me. I have great joy that someday, because Christ has promised it, I'm going to stand up in front of him without spot and without blemish. Somebody has to say amen. Amen. Someday, I'm laying aside the broken. Someday I'm abandoning the corrupt. Someday I'm slipping away from the ignoble. And Christ is going to finish his perfect work in me. And I'm going to stand before him on that great day. And he's going to present me without spot and without blemish. And it is a source of deep joy within me. I pray for your deep well-being and for your growing identity as one who can be aware that God is at work in you, blessing you and granting you grace moment by moment throughout your life. The seventh prayer, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. I want you to notice that I have to be asking if he's going to be fulfilling. Here it is again. I'm praying that you would be more inspired to pray this year than you've ever been. I'm praying that prayer would become more of a natural part of your life. If God is going to answer your petitions, you have to be making petitions. Jesus promised, ask and it will be given unto you. There's a second part of this prayer I don't want you to miss. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Have you ever had a halfway done job? Anyone? It was about half done. And the person pawned it off on you. Half-baked chicken. Church, listen, God never halfways anything. He fulfills, he completes, he does the job, the best and the most fullest. God will never halfway you. It is not who he is. He fulfills. He fills it up to the top. He accomplishes it completely. And I'm praying for you to experience the fulfilling grace of God this year. There is a last request. It's verse 9. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. This is, I believe, not about what I'm asking. It's about who God is. It's about his presence. I want you to do an experiment with me. I want you to think about the thing in life that you wish you could have. Maybe it's a new house. Maybe if some of you have been driving past that black one F-50 out there, and you're thinking, man, I'd love to have that truck. Think about the material thing. You said Chevy and Ford driver, Chevy and Dodge drivers, think about the majesty. Yeah. Please don't send me emails. I'm just teasing. It's just a joke. Okay, think about the material thing you'd like to have. Maybe it's a new house. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's gold bars. I don't care. Whatever the material thing is, think about that. Now hold that in a little spot on the side of your head. And now think about the person you love the most in the world. Think about the thing you would like to have the most. And then think about the person you love the most in the world. Now, I'm going to ask you, would you really be willing to let go of the one you love the most in the world to have the thing? I'm telling you, I'm at a point in my life, you can pile it up. I'm not trading the woman for anything. Pile it as high as you want. A house doesn't love me. Piles of gold doesn't have a shared history with me. I'm not trading. But let's be honest. Some of you in here, you trade. We live in a world where people get shuffled around like trading cards. I'm not. That's between you and you. Here's what I'm saying. Where I am in my life right now, there isn't anything that I would trade for the woman. She's more valuable to me than anything. We have a shared history together. I'm just not trading. All right, now I want you, if you can think this thought with me, now I want you to look up to God and say, is there anything God can really give me that's better than a relationship with God? Huh? I mean, anything. Your own planet that you get to be Superman on. Anything. Is there anything really that God, is there anything that God can give me that's better than God sharing himself with me? Church, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying the best thing you could get this year is a new experience of the presence, the goodness, the grace, the love, the kindness, the forgiveness, the generosity of the living God. There isn't anything he can give you that's better than himself. And I'm praying that each one of us in this church, and everyone online would have a new experience of the presence and the goodness and the grace of God. Some of you may be a little suspicious and say, well, those are all good prayer requests, but how good of a prayer are you? All right, I'm as good as Peter. I've fallen asleep when I should have prayed. Anybody else ever fall asleep praying? Yeah. I mean snoring asleep. I have been praying and found that I was daydreaming for the last 5 minutes. Prayer went wherever it went, and my head went wherever it went, but they were not in the same place. I can pray for you, but my prayers are flawed. I want to remind you, there is one who prays for you, and every prayer he prays is perfect. Would you listen to this? The scriptures say that Jesus Christ ever lives to make intercession for the saints. I'm not the only one praying for you this year. Jesus Christ himself is praying for you. He is praying for you day by day. And I believe these requests that I've shared with you, they are requests that David learned from the heart of God himself. I believe every single one of these requests are requests that Christ is making for you. And I'm praying that this year, your relationship to the praying Christ would make you infinitely better than you've been in the past. Wiser, stronger, better. And I pray that he would receive the glory for it. Our dear Heavenly Father, some men trust in chariots, and some men trust in horses, but our trust is in the name of the Lord. Those who trust in things collapse and fall, but those who trust in the name of the Lord, they rise and stand firm. And now I pray for this congregation from the part of my heart where you have done your best work. Please hear these requests and grant them for your namesake. Please grant everyone in this room and online and at our campuses, grant them the favor that you have and the blessings that you have and the answered prayer that you have and the fulfilling of the desires of their heart. Grant them a life of genuine joy. And then may men see our good works and glorify you in heaven. Amen.